have the headset up here. Okay. One other thing. Can you turn the sound off on the live stream for a second? No way to do that? Okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Lord, how's that go? Do 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 do. Praise the Lord. Sure, you can hook it up right here, honey.
Carol, turn his lapel mic on.
You just put it on my belt here, right here. Anyway, want to welcome everybody. Any folks watching live stream, this is Rabbi Joe. We had a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit Wednesday night here, live, right here. It was just an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And then we had prayer at my house yesterday, and we had another time, just an incredible time of prayer and preparation for Shavuot, for Pentecost. And for those of you who don't know what Shavuot is, that's the Hebrew word for Pentecost. Pentecost was actually an ancient feast of Moses. It's tomorrow. It starts at sundown tonight. And are you testing that? You don't have to test it yet. It's okay. Thank you. Shavuot is the Hebrew word for Pentecost, and Pentecost begins tonight at sundown, and it goes through sundown tomorrow night. That's on the biblical calendar. You say, why, Rabbi, it's Pentecost Sunday. Why is it on a Saturday night? Well, it's Saturday night because in the Bible, a day begins at night. It was evening and morning the first night. It was evening and it was morning the second night. It was evening and it was morning the third night, and so forth, so on and so forth. So the day in the Bible begins at night, and it ends the evening of the following day. So we're going to have a Pentecost or Shavuot in Hebrew, which means weeks, celebration. I'm going to teach on it today, and we'll teach tomorrow. We've been teaching all about a lot about it, really, for the last several weeks, if you've been following our messages. But we want to welcome you to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. I'm Rabbi Joe Bell. I'm an international conference speaker. I've spoken at conferences with Jonathan Kahn, with Sid Roth, with Dr. David Reagan, and a lot of big name speakers. Not that that matters. It really, just the fact that, you know, that's who I am. So, and I'll be speaking at the Messiah Conference coming up in July in Pennsylvania this year. Again, with Rabbi Kahn will be there, and many other great speakers and so forth. So stay with us for the message today. Today's message is about being positioned to encounter God. Today's message, y'all listening back there, being positioned, being in the right position to meet, to encounter God. You have to be in the right position. You have to be in the right place at the right time. And I have a scripture for that, which I'm going to speak on today. It's Luke 24:49. Luke 24:49. You can play that if you want, if you're going to do the Mega Millions. Just a thought, you know, you could play it. Luke 24:49. Might need three or four other numbers, but I don't play the Mega Millions. I would never do that. I'm just kidding. I have played, I confess. But I never win. I haven't won yet. But if I do win, you call me up and I'll send you a buck. All right. Anyway, God bless you. If I do win, I'm going to renovate this place. Hallelujah. We're glad you're with us, and we're going to have a good time. There's the lovely Rebbitz and Dawn. Isn't she lovely? Let's give it up for the lovely Rebbitz and Dawn. Amen. And now I'm going to test my lapel mic here. Testing. Okay, here it goes. Test 1, 2. Buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4. Shut the door. Test 5, 6. Pick up sticks. Hey, you got that all right? Hey, can you hear me there? All right, good. So that one's working, so I'm going to turn that one off, and we're going to go back to the other mic, and we're going to start the service here. So stay with us for the message, which is being positioning yourself to encounter God. If you don't encounter God, you've missed it. If you miss God in life, you've missed it all. The most important thing you can do in your life, besides worship God, is to encounter Him. Amen. If you don't encounter God, you'll never be able to worship Him, because you won't know who He is. When you encounter God, all kinds of things happen. You can accomplish more. And I said this about our prayer meeting Wednesday night. It was such a powerful prayer meeting that took place here. It was such a powerful prayer meeting that I said we plowed a farm. We plowed a field that you couldn't do in the natural. You couldn't accomplish it in the natural. It was such a power. When you can accomplish more with 2 or 3 hours of effectual prayer than you can accomplish in maybe, you can't equate it to what you can do with your hands working or studying in a school. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can accomplish more with 2 or 3 hours of effectual prayer. Everybody say that. 2 or 3 hours of effectual prayer can accomplish more than anything you can do with your hands or in school. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the supernatural. Touching the supernatural. Amen. Praise God. All right, well, we want to welcome everybody. It's good to see folks here. It's good to see. There's Jacob. Man, you look different. You got hair. You didn't have hair last time I saw you. I like it. I didn't know you had hair. Does he look handsome? Now he could join the band. Amen. Nice to see you, young man. What's your name? Robert. Nice to see you again. And the young lady is Tiffany. Welcome, Tiffany. Good to have you with us, too. And there's lovely Chandler Anna's behind you, and we haven't seen her in a while. It's good to have her. And then there's Earl, my friend Earl, sitting back there, and Sharon. And the lovely Sharon Phillippe, who accompanied me this week to an appointment. All right, we're going to get started. Sharon and I had a good time. We went to Chick-fil-A, and she went to a doctor's appointment with me. And we just fellowshipped, and we had a good time. Praise the Lord.
Ready, I need piano in the monitor, please. Check, check, check. Up, up. Yeah, that's it. A little more. A little more. Just a tad more. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey. Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Yom Zeh Yisrael.
Yom Zeh Yisrael.
Yom Zeh Yisrael.
Hey,
Yom Zeh Yisrael,
Ora Besimcha,
Ora Besimcha,
Shabbat Menucha.
Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Besimcha,
Shabbat Menucha,
Shabbat Menucha.
Hey, hallelujah! Let's give Him praise today.
All this day for Israel.
This day for Israel.
This day for Israel, filled with light and joy.
This day for Israel, filled with light and joy.
Filled with light and joy.
The Sabbath of Israel.
This day for Israel, filled with light and joy.
The Sabbath of Israel.
The Sabbath of Israel.
Sabbath of Israel. Hallelujah. Sabbath of his rest. We are here.
Let me take a deep breath. Rest. Take a deep breath. Let's go. Hallelujah. Shake it off.
Amen.
Shake the week off. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Whatever you went through this week, just shake it off.
Amen.
Just take your hand, like you have dandruff or something. Just shake it right off your shoulder. Say, get off of me. That's what Bob Solomon used to teach. Now, I have a question, and I'm going to embarrass my son, but is his shirt white, sherbet, or orange, or peach? This is not a trick question. All right, praise the Lord. He's handsome anyway, whether it's sherbet, white, or peach. All right, Mr. Anthony Cody, let's do the blessing of the Messiah.
Brukatadonai Ohain Yumelik Haolam Asher Natan Ladu Derek HaYeshia Meshua Yeshia Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of
the universe
who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. The house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru, page 45.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledo tamborit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledo tamborit olam. B'nei, oh B'nei, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Od Hile Olam. B'shamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam. Ki Sheshet Yamim, Asah Adonai, Asah Adonai, Shemayim v'haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Yom HaShavi, Shabbat Minafash, Shabbat Minafash, Shabbat Minafash, Mishamru, Bnei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Berit Olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all Israel. Psalm 122, 6 verse 9 says, may they prosper, they shall prosper, who love Jerusalem, who love Israel. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray for the coming of the Messiah in the hearts of each person in Israel, Lord. Because that's where peace is. Peace begins one person at a time in each heart. When the Messiah is in your heart, that's where peace is. And you'll notice if you don't have the Messiah in your heart, you probably don't have peace. And I used to notice that I had an emptiness in my heart. And that leads to, you know, frustration, anger, anxiety, bitterness, lots of different problems when we have emptiness in our heart. But God wants to fill that with his peace, and that's when Yeshua is in your heart, when Yeshua lives in you. And so we pray, Lord, for the people of Israel, that you would come to them one at a time and reveal yourself, Lord, that they would hear your gospel, that they would hear the gospel just as they did 2,000 years ago on the shores of Galilee and in the cities of Jerusalem, in the streets of Jerusalem, Lord, and throughout the land and Samaria and all over Israel. They heard the gospel and many believed, many, many believed. So we just thank you, Lord, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, also for the Messianic community in America. We pray for the executive leadership We pray that the spirit of Shebna would be removed and the spirit of Eliakim would take its place. The spirit of Eliakim from Isaiah 22:22, which is a righteous, godly, humble spirit, would reign in our leadership, in the executive leadership and senior leadership. The spirit of Eliakim would reign, and that you would remove the spirit of Shebna from our leadership, and give them vision, a love for the people, Lord, love for the people. Give the rabbis, bless them, Lord. Give them a charitable heart, Lord. Give each rabbi a charitable heart, not to build their own kingdom, their own little kingdom, their own little fiefdoms. You know, oh, I've got 400 people in my own building, you know. It's not what it's about, Lord. It's about being, we're part of a bigger family. So I just pray for the rabbis that you give them a greater vision and help them to communicate their vision and be bold, not fear man. Take away fear of man. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of my people Israel, of the chosen people, the Jewish people, that you would save my family, my people, that you would open their eyes and their hearts, that they would see their Messiah. Lord, just as you showed me all that many years ago, that you would reveal yourself to your people Israel. I pray in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. And I pray for our president, Lord. The scripture says, pray for your leaders. And if you don't like our president, the Bible says pray for your enemies. So either way, you've got to pray for President Trump. So if you're a Christian or you're messianic and you don't like President Trump, the Bible says pray for him anyway because he's your leader, number one. Number two, pray for him if you think he's your enemy. Pray for him anyway. It says pray for your enemies. So we pray for his health. We pray for his protection. We pray for his family's protection and strength. We pray for his wife, beautiful wife, who's so strong, such a strong support to him, and a tower of strength, a great first lady that we have. I pray, Lord, for executives, his advisors, and the generals, and the people who lead the Congress and the Senate. We pray for them that you would again remove the spirit of Shebna and fill the House of Congress with the spirit of Eliakim. Remove the spirit of Shebna, the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of anger and vanity, and fill the Congress with the spirit of humility and righteousness and kindness and godliness and love for the people, that they would support the people who voted them into office and do what they said, what the people sent them to do. We just thank you, Lord, that you save your people Israel. Save my family, my brother, my sisters and their family. I pray in the name of Yeshua, and our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the Lord says,
he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, and bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
And,
aren't we doing Shema or anything like that?
Oh, we're going to do.
We're just going to do a song first.
No, we're going to do the blessing for the count.
Oh, okay. All right, you just direct us.
Anthony can do the
Omer
count. Omer count, and just pull.
Well, it's over today.
Oh, I got it, Don. I got it.
You got the Omer count.
Talking to Don.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Can I? Okay. And while we're talking, we're having a little talk up here. Okay. Sometimes we need to have a little talk.
I don't hear good, so I'm sorry.
Well, sometimes we talk and we don't hear. And sometimes we talk and we don't even understand what tongue we're speaking. But we're talking right now. And since we're talking, can you turn Terry's guitar up in the monitors, please? A little bit, not too much.
Okay, we'll count the Omer. Seventh. Today's the seventh week, and we got the seven Omers out there. Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Asher Kishanu B'mitzvotav, V'tzivanu Al Sifi Rot, Hai Omer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. And today's count is Hayom Tishah V'Arba'im Yom Shahim Shavah Shavuot La'Omer. Today is 7 weeks, which is 49 days in the counting of the Omer.
Hallelujah. You talked all about Shabbat, Shavuot already today, didn't you?
Yeah, one sec.
Yeah. Till you be clothed with power, be there at the appointed time. I will bless you, pour out on you new life. Wait for the promise of God. Stay in the city till you be clothed with power. Be there at the appointed time. I will bless you, pour out on you new wine. Wait for the promise of God. Don't lose hope, don't lose hope. Don't stop looking for the promise of God. Don't laugh as sweet old Sarah did. Everybody, put your hands together. Make your days count. Make them count so very strong. The perfect place at the perfect time. You might just get it right. You might see thunder, lightning hit the mountain. A miracle instead of mirage. For the Lord, He is on high. right, Shavuot is here. And so many things to talk about Shavuot. So don't miss it. All right, let's all stand for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Gevor, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודיך והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך ושינת העם לבניך ודיברת בהם ושיבדך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשכבך ובקומך וכתבתם להיות על ידיך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובישריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay. Amen. I'm going to ask Isaac and William to prepare to come and carry the Torah. And as we sing Micha Mocha.
All right, and the piano's just a little too loud now.
Yeah. Piano's a little loud, and Don's voice is a little loud, just a little bit up here.
Micha Mocha Elim Adonai. Micha Mocha Nedar Bakodesh Nora Tehilot Osef Elem Osef
Ba'elim Adonai, Ba'en Kemasecha, Machutcha Machut Kol Olamim, Umimsheltecha Bechol Dor Vador, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Elok Neolam Va'ed, Adonai Oz Le'amo Yitain, Adonai Varech Et Amo Vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu. Baruch Shem Kivol Malchuto, Malchuto Le'olam, Le'olam Vaed. Baruch Shem Kivol Malchuto, Malchuto Le'olam, Le'olam Vaed. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Jewish for praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard that one before? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It means praise the Lord in Jewish. Come on, you've not heard that one before, right? How about this one? Amen. Amen. That's Jewish for amen. Let's all say that. Amen, Brother Joe.
Amen, amen, Brother Joe.
Amen. That's Jewish for amen. Actually, it's amen in Jewish, which means so be it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Vayehi ben Zoharon, vayemer Moshe, kuna
Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, udvar Adonai v'Yerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Liamo Yisrael, Bikdu Shato.
When the ark would travel,
Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered,
and let them that hate you flee from you.
For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvorah.
Baruch Adonai
Hamrach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Adonai Hamrach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, V'Natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples
and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Okay, today's Torah portion is Bamar, which means in the desert. And, of course, this coincides with Shavuot. And it means in the desert. And desert means something as far as the scripture. And that was this fire on the mountain. What I got here? You know, it was a heavenly. You know, the giving of the Torah was from heaven. It was recorded on two tablets that day, and later it ended up being five books long, as far as the Torah was concerned. The Torah is frozen in time. It will never happen again, that experience at Shavuot, other than years later we have Shavuot that was after Yeshua left, and that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit on that day. But, you know, God speaks to the Israelites on this day in a great voice, and he's never stopped speaking from that day. You see, the Torah is a gift from God. It's an instruction for living. It's how to be it will tell you and instruct you on how to be happy, how to choose the right spouse, how to raise your children, how to operate your business, and it will allow you and show you how to get the most out of life if you follow God's words. You see, the Torah is more than just mitzvahs or law, as a lot of people say. It meant you miss the depth, the compassion, and love of the Heavenly Father if you only see the mitzvahs. There's more to it than the mitzvahs. As you study and read the Torah, it is about your life as you read and study it. The Torah path is a very personal path to God. It's very personal. You see, Shavuot was actually the culmination of Passover, because God says count 7 weeks and a day. So it's really just Passover coming on forward. It's sometimes referred as the gathering of Passover after. You see, when the Exodus occurred, it was the start of the great revelation of God's word. And in Jeremiah 31, we see God says, in that day I'll put my Torah upon your heart and upon your lips. So you won't need anyone to tell you God's word. It will already be inside of you. You see, the Torah is interesting because it was in the month of Sivan, which is the third month. Moses was the third child. There's three in the Godhead, and the Tanakh is divided into three parts. So three is a very important number in God's word. You see, in the desert where the Torah was given, you see a lot of characteristics of the Torah. We see that living for God, it was in no man's land. It was a very humbling experience, and it was very real. Because if you were there on that day, you would have heard and seen the mighty power of God. And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, they have found, some of the archaeologists have been studying into Syria, and they have found a mountaintop that's all charred on the top. They thought it was first an inactive volcano from centuries ago, but they realized it's not volcanic ash or rock. It's just plain old rocks that's on a mountain, and it supposedly is the mountain of Mount Sinai, Masini, as it's called in Hebrew. You see, we all have our own path. The Torah has three stages, as we saw on that day. The first stage would be the fire. That is the longing for God that's within inside of us that we see later was an act of the Holy Spirit as cloven tongues of fire came and appeared upon them. Our Torah also, the second stage would be the water. What's the presence of the water? The water is to cleanse our minds and make them clear and have clarity as we study and understand God's word. If you try to study God's word with a lot of things going on, like the TV, the radio, or riding down the road, which would probably not be a good place to study God's word other than to maybe speak it out, you know, your mind can get clear. You don't really grasp everything that's in God's words as you study them if you've got a lot of distractions. And then the desert was not the desire. It shows us not to desire things of this world, because what you get in this world, you will leave behind. You will not have these things left with you. I had a friend who I was very close to, and you know, he accumulated a lot of wealth, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral, and he left all of his wealth behind. It's, you know, somebody else will live in your house, somebody else will drive your car, and if you got nice enough clothes, somebody else will wear your clothes. So it's not about this life, it's in the life to come. You see, if you walk with God, you will always arrive at your destination, like Rabbi is going to preach and teach us today about. Our goal is to reach God. That's our goal in life. You see, God instructed Moses on that mountain to count, to take a census. You know, God knew how many Israelites and people from other nationalities that were with. They all wasn't Jewish people. They was a foreign people. There were other people there with them as they traveled, but God said, I want you to count the number. And he said, count them by lifting their heads and count them by name. It was by name that they were counted. It wasn't a corporate count like you see a lot of ball games where they'll have people that can measure the crowd from a video or from an airplane and say, we estimate there's X number of people. God said, count them by name. Lift their heads up and count them by name, because the count was a very personal count. It is, each one is important in the kingdom of God. And remember, God has your name in his palm of his hand, and you have Yeshua's name in the palm of your hand. His name is in there. So all of them together made up the great nation of Israel. You see, it's a shadow of Yeshua. The Holy Spirit is a shadow of Yeshua. Jeremiah 33 says, just to conclude that this morning, it foretells of a census in Jerusalem and the cities of Judah that they will pass under the hand and be counted. If you remember, when Yeshua was born, there was a counting being done in Israel by the Roman armies. They were counting the Jewish people that were in Israel. So God's word in Jeremiah follows that Yeshua was one of those that was sent to that city to be that day to be counted. God also says, behold, the days I will perform a good thing that I promise, and I will have Israel and the house of Judah to form in righteousness. I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up. He will execute judgment and righteousness in the land. That's Yeshua. Yeshua was under a census, as I said, by the Roman army, but he rose up to be the branch of righteousness. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, just to close, says, gives us the decree. Each census is a foreshadow of the counting at Yeshua's birth, and we will be counted in, I hope you will be counted in that day. Shabbat shalom.
Torah, Asher, Sam Moshe, Lifnei, Bnei, Israel, Alpi Adonai, Bia Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Pleasantness and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I know the rabbi's already welcomed everyone, but if there's anybody joining us since the beginning, please do be welcome. And thank you for joining us online, and also thank you our visitors. I think we've welcomed everyone here this morning who's with us. It's great to have you with us, Jacob, and your family. And in the back,
Josh.
Your names again.
Rose
and Mike. Great. Thank you. That's good to have you guys with us. Been a while. Praise the Lord. Hope you're doing well. And Rabbi's going to have an awesome message coming up, so stay tuned. We also have events for Shavuot. Today is the last Shabbat in the counting of the Omer, and we have seven sheaves here, so we know that it's 7 weeks. That's why we call it Shavuot. Shavuot is the plural for weeks. Shavua is a week, so Shavuot is weeks, and Sheva Shavuot would be seven Shavuots. Amen. And one day, which would be if the Yom Echad, would be one more day, and that's going to be the next holiday, tomorrow. Okay, so Sunday, tomorrow, is the actual day of Shavuot, Pentecost, which is mentioned in the Bible. It's a very important holiday. It's been, God established it through Moses, and we still celebrate today through Moses' teaching, and also through Yeshua's teaching, and through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we celebrate Shavuot. So please come, because it's not just an observance of religiousness. It's an actual day that God appoints for us to receive something from Him. So I hope that you'll come and join us tomorrow. If you're not here today, it's good if you're online. Thank you for coming online, and please email us how you enjoy your thoughts of our message and our worship. And please come and join us if you can tomorrow. It'll be an experience, and God will speak to you. So tomorrow at 5:30, right here, we're going to have a service. It'll be going to have worship and a message, and then we're going to eat together, have a cookout. So come. We also need to organize the food for that. So we'll be talking about that a little bit following the message. So any questions about that? In addition, I'll get back to you in just a second. In addition, Ted Pierce, everybody say Ted Pierce, is coming June 28th. All right? So, yay! Is that that's a Friday night. So put that on your calendars. We'll have it up on the website, and we'll send out emails to jog your memory. And please bring friends. Fill this house with people. It's going to be a praise-rocking night, as it always is with Ted Pierce. Amen? So if you love to dance, this is your chance to come and worship God, enjoy Him. Ted's just he's not only a great musician, but he just shares from his heart, and he can be funny, and he's always got something else going on besides just the music. Amen. So I want to encourage you to not only put that on your calendars, but when you get the email, forward it to your friends and personally invite people to come and support the synagogue here. This is your chance to support the synagogue with an event, not only on Shavuot. Come and support the synagogue. Support Israel. If you come tomorrow, if you come on any of these special days, you're not only supporting the synagogue, you're supporting Israel in our area. And you are showing the spiritual realm out there that Israel is important. And you can say it with your words. You can also, the best action is to say it with your feet and come and do something. Amen? Hallelujah. And with that, I'm going to give it back to you. There's some flyers, I think, that we've made of Ted Pierce. So I may have to run some more off because I didn't see any back there. If you need some, let me know. I'll get you some today. All right, Ted Pierce. Let's make sure we let people know about it, okay? And so back to you. Is there anything else about tomorrow?
Shalom. Okay. Tonight at sundown begins, as Don said, Shavuot, which is for Christians in Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, begins tonight at sundown. in the biblical calendar, the day begins at night. Not actually, the day begins the night before. So as you know, and you read in Genesis, it was evening and it was morning the first day. It was evening and it was morning the second day. And so that's the day begins the night before is the beginning of the day and at sundown. So tomorrow, Sunday, actually begins at sunset on Saturday and ends at sunset on Sunday night. Okay, so Monday begins at sunset on Sunday and it ends at sunset on Monday. Okay, that's different because we go by midnight. You know, midnight is when the day begins, the new day, and then the day ends at midnight the following night. That's the way we do it as Americans and Westerners. That's not the biblical way. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody just say, I understand, Rabbi.
I understand, Rabbi.
Amen. Okay. So tomorrow is Shavuot. And one of the key things, if you don't have a place to celebrate Pentecost, God says a couple things. I'm going to teach on it today. I'm not going to get into it right now about the importance of being in the right place at the right time. But the message today is stay in the city, being positioned to have an encounter with God. Being positioned to have an encounter with God. And you can actually position yourself. If you know Shavuot is one of eight of God's appointed times. If you read in Leviticus 23, his set times, it says these are God's appointed times. That's when God can meet with you any day of the week. He can come to you in your dreams. He can come to you, but you don't know when he's going to come. You don't know when you're going to have an encounter with God. You might drive into a telephone pole and be breathing your last three breaths and have an encounter with God. Amen? You might be in the hospital on a ventilator, gasping, dying of congestive heart failure or pneumonia and have an encounter with God. But God tells you in Leviticus 23 eight times when he will guarantee you an encounter. One of them is Shabbat. He guarantees you an encounter on eight times in Leviticus 23. Read it for yourself. Because he says, these are my appointed times. What's a modern word for an appointed time? A modern word for an appointed time. What? A date or an appointment. You have a dentist's appointment. You have a doctor's appointment, right? Sharon went to a doctor's appointment with me. It was at 2:00, and guess what? The doctor showed up. I went in, I met the doctor, and Sharon and I left, right? Amen? And it worked just fine. It was amazing. We showed up 10 minutes before the appointment, 5 minutes before, 2:00 they took us, or took me, and got, the appointment happened. See, God has appointments with us. And so it's very important. So if you don't have a place to keep your appointment tomorrow. Now, just because you go to a church and the church is having a service, that's not celebrating Pentecost. If your church isn't celebrating Pentecost, then come celebrate it with us. We invite you to come. Just a church service doesn't mean they're celebrating church every Sunday. A lot of churches don't celebrate Pentecost. They don't teach on it. They don't know about it. They've kind of forgotten it. It's lost. It's been lost. Pentecost has been lost, and I think part of the reason of it is because there's been so much antagonism between the Pentecostals and the non-Pentecostals that people associate the holiday with Pentecostals. Okay, this is just my outside looking in kind of picture, that the non-Pentecostal Christians look at Pentecost as something Pentecostals do. It's not something for them, And I don't see a lot of hoopla. You don't see people. It's not like Easter. It should be. It's just as important as Easter. But yet, it's an important holiday. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Pentecost. Amen? The resurrection was important, but somebody had to go tell people. And that's what Pentecost was. It was when got people to go tell people. Amen? About the resurrection. It caused people to 3,000 believers that day, and they went out and told. If you remember Joe Namath, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. Remember that commercial? What was it for? What shampoo was that? Breck, Breck. Breck shampoo. Diane still uses it. She has a. She bought back then. She was 17, and she bought a 25. She bought a 30-year supply. She's just finishing it up right now. Breck shampoo. I used to like Breck shampoo. It was good stuff. And Prel. I actually use Prel. Who used Prel? Any Prel users out there? Come on, admit it, Mike. You, when you had hair, come on. All right, I used Prel. And I sometimes I use Prel as toothpaste because I got mixed up, you know. Maybe it messed me up. I don't know. But anyway, come celebrate Shavuot with us tomorrow at 5:30. We're gonna have a celebration. It's gonna be about an hour and a half, and we're gonna have a cookout. Come learn about the feast. Come celebrate the holiday and meet with God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. We're going to take up our offering now, and the Bible says that we're stewards. Amen. All of us are stewards. We're stewards of whatever God entrusts us. Amen. We are to be good stewards. Whatever God entrusts with children, if God entrusts you with children, you're to be good stewards of your children. Amen. If God entrusts you with a business, you're to be good stewards of a business. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, if God entrusts you with a job, maybe it's a job in the church, like playing music or doing the video or the audio, we're to be good stewards of those things. Amen?
Amen.
And we're to do them with excellence. And let me just say one other thing. We're to watch each other's backs. Okay? We're to watch each other's backs. Did you know this past week was several things? It was the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Praise God. Thank God for our soldiers who went to Normandy and bought our freedom, bought your freedom, paid the ultimate price, many of them, for your freedom and my freedom. God bless those young boys, many of them 18, 19, 20 years old, who died there on the beaches of Omaha and Utah Beach. In Normandy, they're buried there, and they never got married, they never had children, they never had jobs, they never had families, and they paid the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could have freedom, so that we could live free. So if you don't know about Normandy, you should study it, you should watch it, and learn about it. Anyway, the Battle of Normandy. Okay, being good stewards, we are, God calls us. So a lot's gone on. Last week was also Jerusalem Day. Last weekend. What was Jerusalem Day? That was the reunification, celebrating. They had a parade in Jerusalem, a big parade, huge, hundreds of thousands of people, and they marched through Jerusalem, celebrating the reunification of the city of Jerusalem, of East and West Jerusalem, under Israeli rule. This is prophetic prophecy. When East Jerusalem and West Jerusalem were reunited in 1967, that's prophetic because the Messiah is returning to Jerusalem, not to any other city. Amen? He's not returning to Paris, right? Jacob, he's not coming back to Paris, right? He's not coming back to Missouri, for all my Mormon LDS friends. He's not coming back to Missouri. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's not coming back to Tulsa. He's not coming back to Canterbury. He's not coming back to Rome. He's coming back, if you read in Zechariah 14, he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives in East Jerusalem, and he's going to dwell, Zechariah 8, he's going to dwell in Jerusalem forever. Zechariah 8 tells us that. He's going to dwell in Jerusalem forever when he comes back. Amen?
Amen.
So Jerusalem has to be one city. It's kind of like Bristol. You know, there was an East Jerusalem and a West Jerusalem, and there's like a Bristol, Tennessee, and a Bristol, Virginia. It's kind of like that. God wants to make us one town, you know? He wants to break down the barrier. One post office, one police department, one fire department. I think God would like to do that. Instead of, there's division in this town. There's division. And the division causes problems. It makes the town suffer. Anyway, I'm talking about six different things at once. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. We're to be good stewards over our resources. And so let's pray and ask the Lord how we should give today. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you help us to be good stewards over all that you've given us, Lord, all that you've entrusted us. Bless the givers and bless the gift, and just put it on each person's heart. Those who are tithers, to tithe. Those who are giving love offerings, to give what you put on their hearts to give, Lord. And bless this offering now for the work of your kingdom, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. And I want to just mention one other thing. Our water heater broke across the way, and it's going to cost us about $450. The plumber hooked it up, a 110 water heater to a 220 line, and didn't tell me that and didn't know it. And we found out, Brother Bill and Fred Middleton found out, and it broke the water heater. So it's been about 9-10 months since it happened, but we don't have hot water, so we need a new water heater. The plumber wants us to get new wiring, but I'm saying we're going to leave the wiring alone. We're just going to get a new water heater. It's going to cost about $450 to get and to install a new, about a 40 to 60 gallon water heater. Okay, so if you want to make a gift to that, you can mark that on your envelope if you'd like to make a contribution toward the water heater. It's always something, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom.
Bring me your love. Bring me your love. to Yeshua.
So can you turn the piano down? Okay, but let me just check your tuning.
Please turn the piano down.
Uh-huh.
of righteousness. Let me in to begin. Sharon Le Hashem, Sadukim Yavevo, Sheashon Le Hashem, Sadukim Yavevo.
Wondrous deeds,
O Lord God, the Almighty,
just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou.
Great and wonderful
are thy wondrous deeds,
O Lord God, the Almighty,
just and true are
all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou.
Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy, thou
alone.
All the nations shall come and worship thee,
for thy glory shall be revealed.
Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia,
amen.
La 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 la.
The Almighty, just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord?
For thou alone art holy,
thou
alone, alone.
All the nations shall come and worship thee,
for thy glory shall be revealed. Righteousness, let me in to worship Hashem.
the Lamb for sinners slain. By him the deed is done, redemption now has come. Glory to his name. Redemption now has come. Glory to his name. You bore my sickness. You carried all my sins. O Son of David, why? Are we not all like sheep? Was done, redemption now has come. Glory to his name. Messiah, you love me, you gave your life for me, your blood and offering. Now my sins are whiter than snow, washed in your blood. Guilty I stood, but now I'm free.
Oh, holy, holy is the name.
Holy is the Lamb for sinners slain.
By him the deed was done.
Redemption now is nigh.
Glory to his name.
Holy, holy is the name.
Holy is the Lamb for sinners slain.
By him the deed was done.
Redemption now has come.
Glory to
his name.
God Almighty, who was and is and is.
of lightning, clouds of thunder. Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Folks, we're going to go to the table of the Lord, and if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, just grab yourself some crackers, some matzah, or some bread, and some fruit of the vine, some grape juice, or whatever fruit of the vine you choose, and you can join us. So if you want to get that ready, I'm going to start preparing, making my way to the Shulchan Adonai, table of the Lord. Praise God. All right. Sharon, would you like to serve today? All right. Come on down. And Anna, would you like to serve? Why don't you come on up with Sharon? Okay. Baruch Atanai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit of the vine. Amen. I'm getting a ring here. Baruch Atanai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the middle piece of three layers of bread called the afikomen, or afikomen in Greek, and it means that which comes later. And he broke it, just like Jews do it every Passover, and he gave it to each of his disciples after the meal, and it was taken together with the third cup, the cup of redemption. And he said, this bread is my body given for you, broken, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So the cup represents his blood, and by his blood we have righteousness, we have healing, we have grace, we have forgiveness of sin, and his body also represents really represent the same thing. His blood and his body are one and the same. Amen. The blood was in the body. Amen. And so his body was crushed. He was crushed for our iniquity. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was crushed for our transgressions. Amen. And so by coming to the Lord's table, what he promises, this isn't his, you know, I guess if you're Catholic, Catholics believe this is the actual body and this is the blood. We believe that this represents the body and the blood, but, you know, I don't tell people what to believe. I just tell them what I believe. Amen? So, anyhow, the point is, there's grace, there's forgiveness, there's healing, there's love in this table. Amen? That's what we receive when we come to the table of the Lord. We shouldn't receive condemnation. Amen? We shouldn't receive judgment when we come to the table of the Lord. We receive His love, His grace. There's too much judgment. There's too many people pointing the finger, too many Christians pointing the finger at other Christians when the whole reason you're a Christian is because you blew it. That's why we needed Christ. Amen. Amen? We needed Christ because we blew it. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. And if we think we haven't, it's the people who think they're perfect, that they're good. You know, I say to people, you know, would you like to hear about Jesus? No, I'm good. They say, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need Jesus. I'm good. Well, if you're good, you don't need Jesus. But if you're not good, if you're willing to admit it, that you haven't, God's requirement is perfection. Are you willing to stand before a holy God one day and say, I've been perfect all my life. I've done everything you've ever asked me to do, everything your book says to do. I've done it all perfectly. Perfect. And he says in his book, he says, if you break one law, one ordinance, one rule, one transgression, one sin, you've blown it all. If you break one. So how can any man be saved? Amen. Through Yeshua the Messiah. Through Jesus Christ. Amen? Through Yeshua. Because He is the perfect one. So it's not my righteousness that makes me righteous. It's His. His righteousness, His perfection imputed to me, applied to me. It's like you paint a house. You take a paintbrush and you apply the paint. His righteousness is applied to me by His blood, right? That's His righteousness. Yes. Amen? So when you take the meal, you're taking His righteousness. You're taking His healing. I'm going to take His healing. Yes. You're taking His grace. Yes. You're taking His forgiveness.
Yes.
You're drinking His love.
Yes.
Ah, that's what you're getting. You're drinking forgiveness, peace, joy, all these things, abundance, riches, riches of spiritual treasures and heavenly places. Hallelujah. That's what you're getting when you come to the table of the Lord. So, praise God. Now, I invite you to come And as you come, if you don't know him, this is a time to say, Lord, let's just bow our heads for a minute. If you don't know the Lord and you'd like to meet him today, you're watching at home or you're here, just bow our heads and close our eyes. Everybody close your eyes. If you'd like to meet the Lord, just raise your hand. If you don't know him, if you'd like to meet him today and invite him into your heart, just raise your hand and I'll pray silently with you. Let's pray with you. If anybody's here today doesn't know Jesus Christ, doesn't know Yeshua the Messiah, raise your hand. If you're watching on TV, just pray this prayer with me, and you'd like to accept the Lord. If you'd like to meet Yeshua, just pray with me. Dear God, I've made mistakes. I confess. I haven't kept your laws, statutes, ordinances, and commandments perfectly. I don't even know what they all are. I couldn't even name them all. There's 613 in the Old Testament. There's over 1,000 in the New Testament. I don't even know what they all are. And I don't do them every day. But you did. You kept them perfectly. Your Son did. And because I believe in your Son, therefore, I believe, Lord. Come into my heart and cleanse me. Wash me. Apply. Paint that forgiveness on me. Paint that righteousness. Paint that salvation. Paint that eternal life. Paint that healing on me, Lord. Paint it on me. Apply your righteousness, your purity, your holiness, your healing. You're healed. You're the strongest. You know, I told a bunch of kids one time, I said, a real superhero isn't Superman. It's not Batman. It's not Buzz Lightyear. It's Jesus. He's the true superhero. He created the universe. He's the real Atlas holding up the world. Amen. He's the real strong man. He's the Mr. Universe, not Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's the real Mr. World. He's the real Mr. Universe. Amen. He created the universe. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, I believe. Come into my heart. Forgive me my mistakes and give me your purity, your righteousness, your sinlessness. Apply it to me. Paint it on me. Thank you, Lord, with your blood. And write my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer at home, I want to invite you to message me or contact me. And if you prayed it here for the first time, maybe you rededicated your life today to the Lord. Come and see me. I have a gift for you afterward, okay? And at home, you can write me or message me, email me, call me, leave me a message. I'll call you back personally, okay? Ladies, God bless you all. Come as you're ready. Your healing on me. Paint your healing on us. Paint your love on us. Paint your forgiveness on us. Paint your grace on us with your blood. Finger paint it on us, Lord. Paint it all over us, Lord. Cover us in your blood. Paint your grace. Paint your mercy. Paint your joy. Paint eternal life on us. Paint your blessings on us, Lord. Paint your riches, treasures, greater riches. Your word says the eye hasn't seen and the mind has not conceived what the Lord has prepared for you. Thank you, Lord. Paint it on us. L'chaim to life in Yeshua. You can greet one another, hug one another. I see people greeting one another. Welcome visitors. Take a minute. Say hello to people. Go up to somebody you don't know and say, Jesus, Yeshua loves you. Yeshua loves you. And if go up to somebody you know and say, Yeshua loves you. What, my phone? For Zion's sake. Did she give you the message title? You need the phone. Pushy kid. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Amen. Okay. Well, Isaac's getting the Facebook ready. These are Ted Pierce flyers, and we had a bunch. I don't know where they all went. They were downstairs. Are they out in the lobby? Are they in the foyer? But anyway, Ted Pierce is coming. Somebody check out front and see if they're out there. Yes. They are? Okay. Would you pass them out? If I could ask you a favor, if anybody lives near a convenience store or a library or a place with a bulletin board, maybe a school or a university or something, and you could just tack up one of these or tape it up, if you have a roll of tape, and just put it, you know, if you have a library or something near you, maybe a Starbucks, you know, they have a bulletin board to say, they have a concert coming, can I post this? And, you know, just put two or three of them up there or give them out to your friends. Just say, this guy's awesome.
Rabbi, this guy's awesome.
This guy's awesome. He rocks.
He is.
He really is. And it's God in him who's awesome, but he's got very gifted. He's a very talented guy. And Ted's coming on the 28th, a week from Friday, a week from this next Friday, not yesterday, but a week from next Friday. He's coming to be with us, okay? So hope you'll come. The sun will be out, at least for part of the night. He'll start at 7. The sun will be out till about 8:30. And so if you have to get home in the light, you might have to leave a little early. But, you know, I want to tell y'all, how many of y'all know about Uber? Diane knows about Uber. Who uses Uber? If you don't have the Uber app on your phone, you need to get it. And if you don't have a smartphone, you really ought to go, even get a cheap smartphone. You can go get a cheap one. Everybody say a cheap one. You can get a cheapo. You know, really, you can go to like Cricket or whatever, or you know, you can get one of these cheapo smartphones and they're cheap plans. But you download Uber, and when you download Uber, and listen to me, hear me out. We go to big cities all over the country. My family and I, we go to cities all over the country. And you call an Uber, and you tell the Uber where you are, and he'll come right to where you're standing. Okay? Know your name. He'll know your name. And he'll come right to where you're standing. And in fact, you can even watch the Uber on your phone. You can even track it where it's coming. You can see it coming. Is that cool or what? You can see the Uber coming up the street. You can see, and a little closer to me this time, son. It was last week. It was a little trouble focusing. Thank you. And so the Uber, it's just such a cool thing. And it's not that expensive. So if you can't come to see Ted Pierce because you can't drive or you can't get a ride, take an Uber or a taxi. There's taxis in Bristol. You can take a taxi or ask somebody for a ride. But don't miss Ted Pierce, you know, because you can't get a ride. An Uber from this anywhere from within 10, 15 miles of here, what will that cost you, Isaac? $10? How much does an Uber from the airport, Don? $15, $20? You know, from the airport to here, about $20 from the airport. I mean, if you live in the area and you need a ride, it's the easiest thing in the world, but you got to have a smartphone to do it. Otherwise, you know, let us know if you need a ride. We'll try to help you get a ride, but don't miss Ted. Don't miss Ted because it's dark. That's just, you know, somebody will give you a ride home. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, welcome, folks, on Facebook. I'm Rabbi Joe, and we're glad you're with us today. This is For Zion's Sake Ministries and Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia, and Tennessee. We're right on the line of Virginia and Tennessee, the birthplace of country music. This is the actual, not Nashville. Everybody thinks Nashville's the birthplace of country music. But actually, Bristol is the birthplace of country music. You can look that up. You can Google it. But don't Google it now because I'm going to preach. And so write down something. Google it later. Amen? And today's message is going to be called Stay in the City Until You Be Clothed with Power on High. And I have another name for the message too, which is position yourself to encounter God. Position yourself to encounter God. And so there's a holiday coming up tomorrow. Christians call it Pentecost. It's the only holiday that Jews and Christians both celebrate and always have celebrated since there were Christians. And since Christians came in the first century, it's the only holiday that Jews and Christians have both celebrated ever since. And Christians call it Pentecost, as in Pentecoste, which means 50th in Greek. Why? Because if you turn to Leviticus 23, please. Turn to Leviticus 23, in verse 15, I think it is. Verse 15. It says, Leviticus 23:15, you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days. There's Pentecost, 50th. There's the 50, 50th, right there. 50 days from the Sabbath. So from the day, or when did you bring in the sheaf of the wave offering? That was on the Sabbath of Passover. That's how we know when Pentecost is. Because the sheaf of the wave offering, which was a piece of matzah, basically, was a piece of unleavened bread. It was an unleavened barley bread offering. Okay? And that represented the Lord and his crucified body and his resurrection. Flat piece of bread like you just ate. Okay? So it says here, from the day... Can somebody get me a piece of that matzah? Somebody grab so I can show you. Thank you, Diane. So it says, you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf. Okay, isn't that cool? You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. Everybody say after the Sabbath. From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. So it's saying the same thing. The day after the Sabbath, which was the day when you brought the sheaf of the wave offering in. Amen? Now, the wave offering, as Diane's going to mysteriously and magically and wonderfully produce. Yeah, here it is. Thank you, dear. And she just did produce it. This is what the wave offering looked like. It was a piece of unleavened bread. Maybe it was bigger. I don't know. I don't know if it's exactly like this, but it was unleavened. It was a barley loaf. It had no leaven in it. It was flat as a pancake, like this. And the priest would wave it. They say, Edersheim says they would wave it like this, kind of like in the sign of a cross. And he would go into the high priest would go in before God in the Holy of Holies. He wouldn't go into the Holy of Holies, he'd go to the holy place. And he'd wave the wave sheaf before God on the Saturday, on the Sabbath during Passover. This bread represented Yeshua, Jesus. It was one piece of bread, and it represented Jesus' body broken for you and me. Amen? And it was brought out of the ground. So it was a resurrection offering. It was a picture, you know, it was the first fruits. Hold your place in Leviticus and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I think it's verse 20. Okay. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits. Everybody say the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Messiah all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits. After that, those who are Messiahs at his coming. All right, I want to stop there. So Paul says that Messiah is our first fruits. Do you know what the day after the Sabbath during Passover was? It was called the Feast of First Fruits. That was the day of the resurrection. Okay, that Sunday. Okay, Moses did it 1,400 years before Jesus rose from the dead, give or take 30 years. Okay, Moses, they wave the sheaf as a picture of the resurrection, because the bread came from the earth. What do we say when we bless the bread? We say Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen? What comes from the earth? If he's the bread of life, then we're bread too, right? And when we resurrect, we come from the earth, right? So he came from the earth. So they take, it says, for Messiah, we just read it, he's our first fruits, right? So the wave sheaf was the first fruits of the barley harvest. It was a picture of Jesus. It was the first fruits of the barley harvest. It was a picture of Yeshua the Messiah. And the priest would wave it on the Sabbath, going back to Leviticus 23:15. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths, 7 weeks. So you count 7 Sabbaths from that Sabbath of Passover, Saturday, count 7 Sabbaths to the 7th Saturday, which is today, 49 days. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, Everybody say, the day after. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord, which I'll talk about tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the new grain offering and who that is tomorrow. Okay? But today I'm just talking about the wave offering. So it says, from the day you brought in this wave offering, the priest, the Jesus offering, everybody say the Jesus offering. So Moses did it as a picture of Messiah. He didn't have the Messiah. Yeshua wasn't there. So they used bread. For 1,400 years, they played with bread. Yeshua said, I'm the bread of life. Amen? He's the bread of life. Whoever eats my body, my flesh, and drinks my blood is my disciple. Amen? So, praise the Lord. It's a little dry. Hallelujah. This is represents his body because he wasn't there. So we had to use something to show us a picture. We're human. We're visual. Are you visual?
Amen.
Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Men aren't attracted to women because of visual things, right?
Okay.
Women aren't attracted to men visually, right? Right? Nobody likes that. There aren't any men that like that Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, right? Nobody here likes it. Raise your hand if you don't like it. I don't see too many hands going up. Anyway, we're visual. We like to see things. We like to taste things. We like to touch things. Amen? Somebody get excited. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We like to see things. We like to smell things. Who doesn't like to smell a good lasagna? Amen? Who doesn't like to come into the house and smell a good lasagna cooking? Nice Italian food, a little garlic and tomato sauce and pasta, you know? Who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like to come in the house and smell a nice roast or a steak cooking on the grill? Amen? Who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like to get a fork and a knife out and cut into that ribeye steak? You know, medium rare, medium well, however you like it. And put a little A1 steak sauce on there. And who doesn't like that? Smell it, cut it, taste it. Yeah. Oh, Angus. That's good. Woo! Lay one on me. Amen? And who knows when you go out and you order some fish and you say, this doesn't smell right. So I think this fish is a day, 2 or 3 days too old. You ever had that experience where you went out to a seafood restaurant or you bought some fish and took it home and you thought, something's not quite right. I don't think I'm going to eat this. And you take one little bite and it's just not right, you know. It's a little fishy. Amen? Are you following my drift? We're human. We're visual. We like to see, touch, smell, hear, taste. That's the way we understand. So God gave us, before 1,400 years before Jesus, he gave us bread to represent the bread of life, the wave offering, the first fruits from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. This is back in Leviticus. Back in Leviticus. So this is what he says. So Christians call it Pentecost because it says count to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. That's 49 days. Seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks is 49 days, right? And the morrow after is 50. That's Pentecost Day, 50th. That's where the Greeks and the Christians got the name Pentecost Day in Greek. Jews call it Shavuot, which means weeks. Count seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks. Amen? So it's the same holiday, it's just different name. Okay? So let's go back to the beginning of the chapter of Leviticus 23. This is what God says. He gives us a commandment here. Leviticus 23, verse 1. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times. Remember, what did I say earlier? An appointed time is a fancy word for an appointment. We have doctor's appointments. We have physical therapy appointments. We have appointments for massages. We have appointments to get our cars fixed. We have appointments to have electricians come. We have appointments with plumbers. We have appointments with contractors. Some of us have appointments with realtors. We have appointments with, some of us have appointments with dates. We have a lunch date. If you show up an hour late for your lunch date, you might as well forget about it. If she's waiting for you for an hour, I doubt, I was with Sharon, and Sharon went to the doctor with me. And the gal sitting at the desk, there was a kind of pretty gal, and she was sitting at the desk, and she had this big bouquet of pink flower roses. And I was checking out of the doctor, and I said, "My, what pretty flowers." Is gone. Okay, there I am. I'm back. I just rose from the dead. I just resurrected before your eyes. Hallelujah. Okay, so hear me out. Hear me out. Okay. So there's this pretty woman, and she's at the doctor's office, and she has this beautiful bouquet of flowers. Amen. And I said, "Wow, that's a beautiful bunch of roses you got there. Pink roses. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful." And I got a little close, and she's. I got up to the counter, and I noticed they were starting to get a little old. And she said to me, "You know," she said. She said, "I left them here over the weekend." This was on Monday or Tuesday. She said, "I left them here over the weekend." Well, that said something to me that the guy who gave them to her was in hot water. Okay, she didn't take them home. He sent her flowers, and she left them over the weekend. Now, what woman would leave? This was an extraordinary 24. Pink roses, beautiful, in a vase. What woman would leave it in a doctor's office over the weekend when she could take it home unless she was really mad at the guy who gave it to her? Can I get an amen? Right? Something was wrong with that relationship. I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out, okay? So she left the flowers. Now, I've discovered something, men. Women like diamonds better than flowers.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen? Women like diamonds better than flowers. They'll settle for gold and silver, but they really like diamonds. They like, if green is their color, they like emeralds. Their color, they like rubies. If blue is their color, they like sapphires. But women prefer, most women, not all. I want to count everybody, you know what I'm saying? But in my experience, women really like jewelry better than flowers, okay? Some even like chocolate better than flowers, okay? I like chocolate better than flowers, personally. So if you want to send me roses, just send me chocolate. And I'll, P.O. Box 1486, Bristol, Tennessee, for Zion's Sake Ministries, you can just send me some chocolate. I'll be glad to eat it. We like to taste, touch, smell, hear, and feel. Amen? I think I said that twice, touch and feel. Lay off that touchy-feely stuff. Okay, let's just smell, touch, hear, and what was the other one? Taste. Taste, touch, smell. There's five senses. Hear. Did I get them all? What?
See.
See, yeah. We like to see. That's right. That's the first one I said. We like to see. So we learn through seeing. So let's read on here. So I'm not going to go back to the bread, okay? Let's read chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which ye shall proclaim as my holy convocations." So an appointed time, again, I started out by saying, if you miss your lunch date for the first time with a girl or a guy, and usually it's more likely the gal, the guy's probably going to be more willing to go out with the girl even if she's late for an hour. But if the guy leaves her for an hour, she's probably less likely to go out with him. Just that's also been my experience, but we won't go there. The Lord's appointed times, these are the Lord's appointments. God's appointments. Everybody say appointments. Well, Lord, move that bass, that vehicle away, playing all that loud music. Move it out. Just move it down the street. Okay, Lord, clear it out. Get it out of here. Thank you, Lord. Okay, these are God's appointments in Yeshua's name. You shall proclaim as holy convocations. My appointed times are these. And then he goes through the list. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. So the first one he mentions is the Sabbath. These are the appointed times. These are the appointments of God. Holy convocation. What's a holy convocation? Well, yeah, a moed is a holy convocation. It's a Hebrew word. And in English, we don't say holy convocation. We don't say, come to my house. We're going to have a prayer, a holy convocation of prayer. Right? We don't talk like that, you know. We only see that on invitations when somebody's graduating college or high school. A convocation will be at the gathering. Yes, a gathering. Assembly. Exactly. A holy gathering. This is what you do. It's church, synagogue. When you come to worship God, if it's a marriage, or if you come for Shabbat or a feast or even a funeral, you're coming for a holy assembly, a sacred solemn assembly. So God says, if you're going to celebrate His appointed feasts, His appointments, you're to have holy gatherings. Okay, come to the house of the Lord, gather together at the appointed time. Amen. It says. Then it goes on. Look in verse 5. It says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. What happened at twilight on the 14th day of the month on the Passover that on Yeshua, on Jesus' last Passover? What happened at twilight on His last Passover? What did He do at twilight? What? Well, on the first night he had Passover Seder meal with the Last Supper, and on the second day of Passover, because there's 2 days, on the second day he died. He gave up the ghost. So either whether you look at it as he had his Last Supper and told his disciples what he was going to do the next day, or whether you look at it as he gave up the ghost at twilight on the next day, it was exactly that time. Amen? Amen? It was exactly that time. Praise God. How cool is that? Jesus had an appointment to have His Last Supper on Passover. Amen? Amen? It says right there in verse 5, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. So on that day, at sundown, he had the Last Supper with his disciples. And also at twilight the next day, which we still call it Passover. It's like a 7-day holiday. So he gave up the ghost on the cross. It was about twilight. It was late afternoon. Sun goes down about 4 o'clock in Israel. Okay? Goes down about 4:30 in the afternoon. It was about 3 o'clock. When he gave up the ghost. It was late afternoon, right? Amen? It said it was dark, didn't it? Darkness grew, came over the land. Amen? Oh, isn't that awesome? He kept his appointment exactly when he said he would. Okay, so what is he saying to us about Shavuot? Well, let's go to the New Testament. Go to Luke. Thank you guys for stopping that noise. Let's go to Luke 24:49. Did I give you a hard time?
No.
Luke 24:49. Okay. I'll start in verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for sins, forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses, verse 48, of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, what we know from the word that they waited 10 days. Because go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. So he told them, stay in the city, right? Until you be clothed with power. Amen? Was he giving them a new commandment, or was he just telling them to do what Leviticus said? He was telling them what Leviticus said. Gather together and celebrate the feast. So he's saying stay in Jerusalem and celebrate the holiday. But turn to Acts 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Yeshua began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles which he had chosen. To these he also represented himself after his suffering by many convincing proofs to them over a period of 40 days. Everybody say 40 days. So on the 40th day, he said to them, stay in the city for 10 more days. To the 50th day. On the 40th day, he said, stay in the city until you be clothed with power. Luke 24:49. On the 50th day. Are you all getting that? He told them on the 40th day, stay 10 more days, stay in the city. If you need to go back to Luke to see it, but that's what he said. Stay in the city, this is what he said, until you be clothed with power from on high. Until the Holy Spirit is poured out on you. Did Peter perform miracles before he received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2? Now you read in Acts chapter 3, I think it is, Peter and John are on their way to prayer, and a lame man is lying there on the side of the road, and he's begging, and Peter says to him, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Stand up! And the man gets up. Amen? Did Peter ever do that before? No. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Now, it says 3,000 were added that day. Amen? In Acts chapter 2. We can go to Acts chapter 2. And it says, Peter preached. It says, verse 14, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of us through the prophet Joel, and it shall be as in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Do you know why the young men would see visions and the old men would dream dreams? Because old men sleep. We sleep. Not that one. But most old men sleep. And younger men, they're up more. They're awake more. Theoretically, hypothetically. At least that's what he's saying. You know, that's my theory. You don't have to agree with it. Anyway, I used to come home, my dad, he was much older than me, and so I'd come home. He'd come home from work, and he'd go sit in his chair and read the paper. And about 20 minutes, he'd be asleep, and then he'd have his head back, and his mouth would be open, you know, and he'd be having a good snooze. And then my mother would say, "Aaron, supper's ready," and he'd go, you know, and then he'd come in and eat, and he'd wake up. All right. I'm not making fun of my dad, but I'm just remember that's just a fond memory. Dad used to snooze after a hard day's work. Now, Isaac might tell you that I do that, but you know, I don't know if he'd say that, but I sit in my easy chair, you know, it's just so comfortable. I can't help myself but fall asleep once in a while, you know. Stuff happens, right? Okay. All right. So Acts 2. So let's go down here a little bit further. And it says here, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, in Acts chapter 2, and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified. And then listen, verse 41. So then those who received his word were baptized, and they were added about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls were added. No microphones. No guitar, no keyboard, no bass, no microphones. Just Peter out there on the southern steps of the temple preaching to a crowd. Now, if 3,000 got saved, how many do you think were there? 5,000? 4,000? 6,000? 10,000? I don't know. A lot. Excuse me. 3,000 people got saved. Have you ever preached? Have you ever seen 3,000 people come to an altar call? I don't even think Billy Graham's seen that many people. Just, you know, maybe he has, but I've never seen one in one of his crusades. I've seen it's hundreds. I've seen hundreds of people come forth in a Billy Graham crusade. I've never seen 3,000 get saved in one shot, except in maybe like some African crusade or something, or in India or something. You know what I mean? On TV. Never 3,000 people. That's a lot. Do you know the population of Bristol, Virginia is 17,000? Thank you, Lord. Help me. Hallelujah. Okay. So, wow. So Peter's doing some pretty cool stuff now. And it says in chapter 3, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth. Walk!" And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were straightened. With a leap, he stood upright and began walking. And he entered the temple with them and walked and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praised God. Peter was starting to do Jesus stuff. Everybody say that. Peter was starting to do Jesus stuff. Turn to Acts chapter 10, please. Remember Peter the coward, who the little girl, when Yeshua was being arrested, and the young girl saw him and said, "Aren't you one of those men that was with that Jesus guy, with Yeshua?" And he said, "No, not me. I don't know the man." And she said, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're one of those guys." And he said, no, you got the wrong guy, not me." And he ran away, and he ran off, took off as fast as he could, because he was afraid they were going to do to him what they did to his master. Amen? And just 50 days later, there he is preaching. He's not even caring if he gets arrested. To thousands. Something changed. Right, Mike? Something big changed. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius. Well, let's go back a little further in Acts chapter 9. Okay. So, whoops, I just ripped my Bible. Sorry there, Lord. Verse 32 of Acts 9. Now, as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. Then he found a man named Aeneas, whom had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Yeshua the Messiah heals you. Get up and make your bed." Immediately he got up. I'm going to try that with my sons. I'll say, "Isaac, get up and make your bed." I'm going to try that. He said, "Get up and make your bed." And it says here, "And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord," because he got up and made his bed. Now, he was sick. He wasn't just asleep. He was in bed. He was, you know, probably on his deathbed, right? And he got out of bed, and he made his bed, and he wasn't bedridden anymore. He wasn't wheelchair ridden anymore. Amen. He was healed. Praise God. Now in Joppa, that's Jaffa today. We call it Jaffa. That's the same city where Jonah t- took off when he got on the boat to run away from the Lord. He picked up a boat in Joppa, we call it Jaffa. If you go to Israel, it's called Jaffa, and actually in Israel they call it Jaffa, because they don't say the J. Anyway, so thank you, sir. God bless you. Peter's in Jaffa, verse 38, okay. And it happened at that time, verse 36. Now in Jaffa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity. She continually did, and it happened at that time she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples decided, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was... She died! But Peter sent them all out, knelt down, and said to Tabitha, "Arise! Kumi, arise!" And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up and gave her his hand, and he raised her up, calling the saints and widows. He presented her alive. He raised her from the dead. God used Peter to raise her from the dead. Peter, the guy that ran like a rat, that said, "Lord, I'll never leave you." That said, "Lord, I'll always be with you. Lord, nobody will touch you." And he ran like a rat. He abandoned the Lord. Amen. And just 50 days later, he's preaching to 3,000. He's, you know, in that summer, he's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. He's doing the Jesus stuff, amen? He's doing the stuff Yeshua did, the miracles. Peter, the fisherman, the unlearned guy. That's what they say in chapter 2. Aren't these men unlearned? Aren't these men from Galilee, these guys speaking in tongues? Aren't these men unlearned? Yeah, they were. You didn't need a college education or a seminary degree. You just needed to be in the... What did Jesus say to them? Stay in the city until you be clothed with power. That's all he told them to do. Stay in the city, essentially, until the day of Pentecost, until the day of Shavuot, which is tonight and tomorrow. Stay in the city until you be clothed with power. No homework. Didn't have to read Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. He didn't give them an assignment and say, "Write me a paper 8 pages long and take a test, multiple choice, for 3 hours. No, he just said, "Stay in the city." He didn't even tell them what they had to do. He said, "Stay there." You think they would have gotten clothed with the power that they got if they left the city? Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. Are you following me? If you've never healed a sick person, God's the healer, but he uses people a lot. If you've never raised a dead person, if you've never led somebody to the Lord, he led 3,000 in one sermon. That's a pretty nice fruit tree. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 30, I think it's verse 11 or 18, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If you've never won a soul, it would be a wise thing to do before you leave this world. And if you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, I'll be glad to help you. I'm here. Just come to me, see me privately. And it's simple as this. I'll tell you how to do it, but I'll give you I've given it to you before, and I'll give it to you again. A questions to ask. to lead someone to the Lord. It takes less than a minute or two, okay? But the key thing to do is to pray first and say, God, give me souls. Give me a divine appointment to win souls. Bring people into my life. You know, I was in bed the other day. I hurt my back. Now, 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, I fell on my back. I slipped on the floor, hardwood floor, 250-something pounds of me, 6'3", slipped and fell on my back. And I've been struggling ever since. I can't tie my shoes, can't put my own socks on right now, okay? That's what I'm going through. And I'm in bed the other day, and I'm quoting the scripture in Exodus 15. It says, I am the Lord. People like to quote it all the time. I am the God that healeth thee, you know? They like to say that. He sent his word and healed my disease. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God, Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Now go to Exodus 15 sometime and then read the rest of it. If you keep all my commandments, laws, statutes, ordinances, which I gave you when you came out of Egypt, not some of them, but if you keep all of my commandments, statutes, ordinances, and laws, which I gave you when you came, then none of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians will come upon you. Nobody sings that. I am the God that healeth thee. Just keep all my laws, statutes, commandments, and ordinances perfectly, and I'll heal you. Doesn't say that, does it? What did I say before? We all fail. I said, Lord, I fail. I failed as a rabbi. I've let you down. I've let people down. I failed as a rabbi. I failed as a bagel shop owner. I failed as a salesman. I failed as a son. I failed as a father. I failed as a husband. I failed as a landlord. I failed as a driver. I failed in everything I've ever done. Can I get an amen? Amen. I've failed at everything I've ever done. I've had success too. I've invested and I've won, but I've also invested and failed. Amen? I took jobs that I did well at. My first job, I was making $50,000 by the time I was 23. My fifth job as an insurance salesman, I didn't make 10 cents. I failed. But I didn't fail. You know why? Because I sold my mother a nursing home insurance policy. I sold one policy. Two. One to my dad, one to my mother. Nursing home policies, long-term care. And guess what? My mother needed long-term care for 5 years. And you know, she took it out of I don't have a very big rear end because my mother took it out of me every year when she had to pay that $3,500 bill premium. When she had to pay that $3,500 premium on her long-term care insurance, she took it right out of my rear end. She let me know about it. I'm not messing with you. Every year. When that premium came in, I knew the phone call was coming. If I didn't have to pay this $3,500, I could have taken that money and invested it, and I would have made $20,000 out of it. But you sold me this stupid policy. And then she had a heart attack when she was 88 or 89. And I called, so I said to my sisters when she was 91, I said, did you ever call that insurance policy that I sold her for her nursing home care? Because it was not just nursing home, it was in-home. So they would send nurses to the home and they'd pay for it. That was the insurance policy. They said, my sister said no. I said, would you mind sending me the policy? So they sent me a copy of the policy. So I read the policy. I called up. I said, my mother is, this is, she got this, this, and this wrong with her. And they said, we'll cover her 3 years back to her heart attack. And not only that, we'll pay her back her premiums. All those 3 years she was yelling at me, paying $3,500 a year, they gave it back to her. Plus they paid 80% of her medical bills for 5 years
from the time she had her heart attack to the time she died, 5 years, they paid 80% of her $100,000 a year plus medical bills. They sent two nurses a day plus a hospice nurse. Two nurses a day, two home health aides, one during the day who cooked and shopped and helped her through, go around, drive and walk through the mall and go out to lunch, carried her oxygen. One who sat there in a chair while she slept at night at the end. Because little Joey took a job selling insurance in 1991 that I failed at, except I didn't fail. Dad got rid of his policy. You know why? He was smart. He figured this. My dad had moments of brilliance. And this moment, he said, you know, I've got two daughters. I've got a bunch of granddaughters. And I've got a wife, and I've got her sister. What do I need nursing home insurance for? They'll take care of me. And they did. They took care of them. The daughters, me and my wife, we helped take care of them. His wife, my mother, took care of him. He didn't need to go to a nursing home. He ended up died in the hospital, and he lived at home. Amen? But my mother kept her policy. And you know what? She needed it. And it so, yeah, I failed at the job. I didn't make any money. But I sold her a policy that saved her $80,000, at least $80,000 a year for probably about 5 years in expenses. Not too, as Adam Sandler would say, not too shabby. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. All right. No more imitate. No more. I'm not going to give any more improv. What do you call them? Imitations. Impersonations. I was going to do my Austin Powers, but I'm not going to do it. So, all right. Let's finish this thing. Stay in the city. Yeah, I failed, okay? Peter failed. But once he was clothed with power, I still fail. But yet I've been clothed with power. Amen? Has anyone seen that power that God's clothed me with? Just shout yes if you have. If you've seen that power through my hands that or through me that God has clothed me with power. If you've seen it, just shout it out. Say yes, Rabbi. Okay, you've seen it. I don't want to make it up and brag about myself. I want witnesses. I want people to testify what God has done. He clothed me with power. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs through these hands by his power. I've seen a woman, people, three women healed of cancer by the laying of this hand through his power. I've seen people, fevers cast out. I've seen mute tongues speak. I've seen deaf hear. I've seen the blind receive sight. I've seen the lame walk through my prayers and anointing with these hands and his power. I've seen 120 people saved in one night. I've seen 100 people baptized in the Holy Spirit in one night. Had a pastor from around Hickory, North Carolina, come to me about 3-4 years ago. He said, Brother Joe, you may not know this, but when you preached that youth camp back in North Carolina, this was 18 years ago, when you preached that youth camp to the poor kids 18 years ago in North Carolina, my daughter was one of the 100 kids that came up and sat in your lap when you gave that message on coming to Jesus like a little child, and you sat in a big chair and each kid sat in your lap and received Jesus. Amen? He said, you don't know this, but my daughter was one of those kids. She was 4 years old. She accepted the Lord. She's never changed. She's always followed the Lord since then. She was a real salvation. And not only that, you said she'd be a missionary to Africa. She's a missionary to Africa. And not only that, she even became a, Brother Joe, she became a Patriots fan. From North Carolina, she broke her daddy's heart. God even imparted my football favorite team. Are you clothed with power? I hope so. I hope you are. I can help you get there, but only He can do it for you. You've got to want it. You've got every, see, they, the apostles, He said, stay in the city. Well, you have a chance to do what they did. Come tomorrow at 5:30. Come tomorrow at 5:30 expecting to be clothed with power on the day of Pentecost. Come tomorrow expecting to be clothed with power. Hungry to be clothed with power. Wanting to be clothed with power. So that, do you know that Elijah and Elisha walked around? Elisha, remember Elijah threw that mantle over Elisha? I did a newsletter. If you never want my newsletter, you can just go to www.forzionsake.org and you can read it. It's called, this month's newsletter is Elijah's Mantle, Getting Equipped for the Last Days. It's about getting power. If you want to get this newsletter, you can contact our ministry. You can get it by email. Go to our website. You can sign up for it. You call us. We'll send you a copy of it, whatever. You can see it online. You can go to For Zion's Sake Ministries on Facebook. It's posted there. You can watch it. You can read it. You can download it. I don't mind if you copy it and share it, okay? That's what it's for. Amen? Yeshua said, be at the feast, is what He was saying. Stay in the city till you be clothed with power. Come to the feast. And that's what I'm inviting you. I'm not telling you, read Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Read the whole New Testament. Read it backwards and forwards. Come to the feast. It's God's appointment to meet with you. Now, do I promise you that He's going to clothe you with power? No, I can't promise you that. I can't promise you He'll meet with you. I can't promise you He's going to do to you what He did to Peter. Only He can do that. Amen? But I can promise you this. If you show up tomorrow at 5:30 for that service, you're going to get a hamburger afterward. Or a hot dog. Come, join us, all right? And let us know. Just get message us that you're coming so we know how many hamburgers to cook. You might get clothed with power tomorrow, okay? Wouldn't that be awesome? If you haven't been fruitful, if you haven't been fruitful for God, if you haven't healed the sick, if you haven't led people to the Lord, do you know Elijah walked around with Elisha for a couple years with his disciple? Elisha was the disciple. You know Elisha didn't perform a single miracle until he asked for a double portion of his master's spirit. And when Elijah was taken up, he said, you ask a very difficult thing, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, and the mantle came down, the prayer shawl came floating down as the chariot of fire and the horses of Israel, the chariot of Israel and the horses of fire came and took Elijah away, and the boy got picked up the mantle, amen? And he smote the Jordan River and it parted. And then all of a sudden, Elisha started raising the dead and started healing the sick and started performing great miracles. Isn't that awesome? And the king of Syria sent 50 captain and 50 men and to do him harm. And he said, if I am a prophet in Israel, let fire come down and consume these men. And the captain and the 50 men were killed. Fire came down. So the king who was intended to do him harm sent another captain with 50 men. And they came, and he said, if I'm a prophet in Israel, let fire come down and consume these men. And the second 50 men and their captain were burned up. The third captain came on his knees. Please, have mercy on me. Don't kill me. I promise we won't hurt you. I'm just doing what my master said. Please don't burn us. Please don't kill us. And a lot, and God said, go with them. They won't hurt you. That's power. That's power. Amen? God wants you to have power. Not so you can be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not so you can go out and be a World Wrestling Federation champion. He wants you to have power so you can perform miracles so that people will believe in His Son. He wants you to lead people to His Son. That's a miracle in and of itself. Salvation is a miracle. Amen? So, spiritual power changes things. It's like electricity changes things. Amen? If we didn't have electricity, it'd be dark in here. And you wouldn't see how good looking I am. At least my wife tells me I'm good looking, you know. So if you didn't have electricity in these lights, you wouldn't see how good looking my wife tells me I am. Right? But you get to see it because of electricity. Power changes things. Our hot water heater broke. We need $450. If you'd like to help us, we could use it. Our plumber, who's a great plumber, made a little mistake. Like I said, we all make mistakes. Hooked up a 110 water heater to a 220 line and burnt out our water heater. And now it's going to cost us about $450 to get a new one to replace it, unless we can find one on sale. But we need a new water heater for our synagogue. We need $450. So if anybody watching would like to help us, you can donate securely online at For Zion's Sake Ministries. We'd be very blessed if you've been blessed. Power. Electricity changes things. When it goes into a water heater and the water heater works, you get hot water. You know, it's funny. They talk about these electric cars, okay? And everybody should drive electric cars to save energy, right? But you know what they use to make the electricity? Coal. And in this country, they started using natural gas. They burn natural gas to make electricity. And now they're burning coal again, too, because President Trump's opened up the coal mines again. Amen, because it's put people back to work. And then God gave us coal for energy. Amen? But you know what? If we didn't have coal, which the previous administration took coal away, China's burning coal. Russia's burning coal. Europe's burning coal. The whole world's burning coal. Africa, the Middle East is burning coal. It doesn't matter if the United States burns it. The whole rest of the world's polluting the whole sky that we breathe. What difference does it make if we might as well burn it too? If we're digging it out of the ground for them. You know that's what we're doing? We're digging out of the ground. Our coal miners are digging coal out of the ground for Russia. That's where it's going. And they're burning it and polluting the sky. So all these people who say drive an electric car that costs you $40,000 aren't making the planet any greener. It's a myth. It's a lie. They're flying around in jets, driving in SUVs and big Suburbans and Tahoes and what's that other fancy one? Yukons, Suburbans, and Tahoes, driving around in fast cars, big old Ferraris and Lamborghinis that take high test fuel and get about 6 miles to the gallon with 800 horsepower. And they're telling you what you need to drive, a little Ford Fiesta, or what's that little Ford? Ford Focus. They want you to drive a little tin can that you know gets 50 miles to the gallon. They want you to drive a Volt, a Chevy Volt. You know, they want you to pay $40,000 for a little tin can that'll barely hold you and your cat. Well, they drive around in jets and Suburbans and Tahoes and Yukons and Ferraris and Lamborghinis. Do as I say, not as I do. And they're out in their yachts, big yachts, 40, 60, 80, 120, 140, 160, 200-foot yachts. Save the planet. Hypocrites. Pentecost is a reminder of God's power and where we stand before God. John 15 says, any branch that does not bear fruit will be thrown into the fire. Without power, Elisha didn't perform a single miracle, right? Without power, Peter didn't perform a single miracle, did he? You read it. Read Peter after Acts 2 on, and read about Peter in the Gospels. Very different Peter, right? He didn't perform a single miracle before. Later on, he performed a ton of them. Amen? He was fruitful. God wants you to be powerful and fruitful. And all he had to do was stay in the city those 10 days. Luke 24:49. Stay in the city until you be clothed with power. Stay till the day of Pentecost. That starts at sundown tonight. The commandment says, gather together. Have a holy assembly. Have church. Have synagogue. Amen. Worship together. We'll talk about the feast. Maybe we'll pray. Maybe the power will come down. Amen? Amen? And then we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs. If you want tofurkey, you can have a tofurkey dog. Please stand up. I want to bless you. You're a tofurkey guy, aren't you? That's one of those soy hot dogs. You know what I'm talking about? And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach. Happy Shavuot. Shavuot. Happy Pentecost. Come and join us tomorrow night at 5:30 here, 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, Bristol, Virginia. And come be with us if you can't make it, if you're too far away. We have friends here who drove all night from 2 o'clock in the morning. They drove down here from Culpeper, Virginia to be with us today and tomorrow. So if you live 50, 70, or 80 miles away, don't give me that excuse that you can't be here. These people drove all night long to get here. What are you willing to sacrifice to get the power? God bless you. Shabbat Shalom.